everybody. It's Dr. Amy Myers. Welcome to our latest episode of The Myers Way. We have a great guest today that I will be introducing in just a minute. I wanted to update everybody. If you have not been to our new website or my new website, I have a fabulous new website. The store is much better in terms of ordering and saving your cart. And if you're a local patient, you can even click to pick it up in our office. And then the most exciting news is our e-courses are finally launched. So I have an e-course on sort of your guide to gluten, gluten 101, or people who have already been gluten-free and are still having problems, where might they be having problems? I have one on how to heal your gut, which I know will be huge for many, many people because there's so many people that are reading my articles and following the advice, but just still need that extra boost to actually heal their gut. And we'll walk you through figuring out, do you have a parasite? Do you have yeast? Do you have small bowel bacterial overgrowth and what to do about those things? And finally, my main program that I have all of my patients go through, the Myers Way Comprehensive Elimination Diet, is now as an e-course as well. So I hope you guys get a chance to check those out. And now on to our latest guest. I have Mickey Riley here, who is the author of Your Primal Body. So I know a lot of people are, you know, it's the new year, either you want to get healthier, maybe you want to get in shape, lose a little weight, get some more muscle, have better endurance, whatever it is. Mickey is here to help us with that through her book. Welcome, Mickey.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
So glad you're here. Well, first, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you, you know, got into writing the book?
I've been involved in the world of health and fitness for at least 20 years. And so I've been a personal trainer long before I got involved with paleo. I started as a bodybuilder back in 1992. I did a competition and I discovered that I really enjoyed the process of transforming my body. And that experience made me realize that I wanted to help others transform theirs as well. So that was one piece of it. And then I had always had a kind of a curiosity or an interest in nutrition. So over the years, I had done macrobiotics. I was a vegetarian for 7 years. I did low fat, actually dieted down for my competition using that approach. And then I discovered The Zone by Barry Sears. I did low carb by Dr. Atkins. And I not only did I experience them myself, but while I was exploring all these different approaches to nutrition, I was working with my clients with them as well. And so I actually experienced these all for a long enough period of time that I actually got to, you know, have a pretty good sense of how they worked for me and my clients. But while I was finishing up my degree at UCSB, I was a returning student. I went back later and finished it. I discovered the work of Lauren Cordain and the paleo diet. And of all of the nutritional approaches that I had explored, this was clearly the best that I had ever felt. And so that was a big piece for me. After completing my degree, I discovered the work of Art Devaney. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he wrote this, really it was an eloquent essay called Evolutionary Fitness, and it really inspired me. And so while Cordain had stressed mostly diet in his research, and he just briefly touched on exercise and movement, Devaney put together a holistic approach to health and fitness that included both diet and exercise, which was great, I thought, for a fitness trainer to use with their clients. And for me, it worked beautifully. But what happened was, before I discovered Art Devaney's work, I had already moved from a focus on doing bodybuilding type exercises, really specifically to, you know, try to make my muscles larger in a symmetrical kind of way, to which was using isolation movements and compound movements. I had switched to high intensity intervals, and I started doing more what you call functional strength training, just based on the research that I was reading at the time. But Devaney's theory really gave me a context for what I was doing. And that was, you know, it really confirmed that I was on the right track. And it was the beginning of my interest in the paleo movement.
Awesome. And so how did you really see your body transform with that?
With the paleo diet and exercise?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's pretty amazing. Exercise part, the diet works amazingly well for me. I stick pretty low carb. I'm in the more low carb camp of the paleo diet. But I do a lot of really great fats like coconut oils, and I'm able to train very hard, and my body stays very lean and pretty tight. And a lot of it has to do with the types of training. Functional training is really effective, and it teaches you how to move in ways that are very healthy for your body. And also, I went and got a, I worked with Pavel, the Russian that brought kettlebells to the United States. And so I learned really well how to do kettlebell movements. And the Russians are very smart about training. And a lot of their techniques actually improved what I had been doing. I was very strong. You know, I had done a lot of work with barbells. I knew how to lift. But all of my lifts got better once I learned how to do kettlebells well. And so the functional training aspect was huge.
Well, so for many people, they may not know what that really means. What does functional training mean?
It's, you know, basically functional training is looking at your body as a whole rather than isolated types of movements. So it's foot-based, full-body movements, like the movements of early humans. So you're really emulating those types of movements. And rather than, you know, sitting on a machine where you're, you know, your body parts are stabilized and all you're doing is isolating a muscle. So you're moving in ways that your body actually is designed to move. You know, when the Arthur Jones discovered or created Nautilus back in the 1970s, people used to think that you know, isolating muscles was the best way to build muscle. But what we found is that the brain doesn't think in isolated movements. It thinks in, you know, full body movements. So this type of training prepares you more for, you know, the activities of your daily life and sports. So you learn to move better.
Yeah. So I actually have a trainer who's a functional trainer, and, you know, I'll do things like bear crawls and stuff. And I'm like, when did somebody in our ancestry crawl like a bear? What were they doing? You know, what was this movement that they were actually doing?
Right.
So I do wonder about some of the movements. Did they actually really do those movements? Or are these just movements that we've sort of come up with that allow you to use all the muscles in your body?
Well, physical therapist Paul Scheck, you know, isolated seven primal movements that he calls, you know, that he says our bodies would have had to be able to perform effortlessly in order to survive. And bear crawls weren't in there, but, you know, the movements were squat, lunge, bend, like a hinge, push, pull, twist, and gait. And it makes a lot of sense when you start using those movements or emulating the movements that our ancestors would have done, and starting to add resistance, you know, as you develop good technique and develop strength in that way. It's an amazing approach to fitness.
Yeah, I mean, those are all movements that we are doing every day, right? I mean, we're picking up the kids, or we're pushing the grocery cart. I mean, we do these movements, not in the way that we used to do them. But, you know, I think that that's certainly, I've gotten into trouble with my back by not being strong enough to do those, you know, appropriately.
Right. Or not knowing how to bend with your hips instead of bending over with your back, which puts a lot of stress on your spine. Right?
Yes, I'm still having trouble with that one.
I was like,
I didn't get in this boat overnight. So, you know, it's going to take me a while to get out of it, which is exactly what I tell my patients, you know, when they're coming to see me in terms of their, you know, their health, you know, and that's kind of how we obviously view things in functional medicine, as the whole picture as well, rather than one system. And people, you know, are not getting in that boat overnight, as many of us are not getting in the boat that we're in terms of bending, you know, at the waist rather than the hips or with your back and whatnot. We've been doing it our whole lifetime because nobody's ever told us otherwise.
Yeah, I saw the parallel. I know that your thing is functional medicine, and definitely it parallels the type of training that I do.
Yeah, so tell us, you have a 5-step primal body program in your book. Can you go over that with us?
Sure. The first step, actually each step kind of builds on the previous step. So the first step is eat the anti-inflammation primal diet. And so as you know, the modern diet of high carbohydrate foods, you know, causes your body to produce pro-inflammatory hormones, which inflame the body and can lead to a large number of diseases. The primal diet that I talk about, or the paleo diet, is naturally low in carbohydrates. So it reduces the chronically elevated levels of insulin in the body. And also, the diet, if you're eating grass-fed meats, is high in omega-3 the anti-inflammatory fatty acid, and it's low in omega-6, the pro-inflammatory fatty acid. So it improves your omega-6 to omega-3 ratio. And so this particular diet is very effective for reducing chronic levels of inflammation in the body. And so that's the first step. It kind of takes the inflammation out of your body, which is really helpful for people if they're going to be, you know, doing exercise to reduce their inflammation. The second step is supplement with the Super 6. So the nutrient density of our food, meaning the actual vitamins, minerals, and other essential nutrients contained in our food, is different than it was 40,000 years ago. So paleo anthropologists have shown us that the foods our ancestors ate had greater nutrient density. So my choice of supplements is based on what modern bodies need to best replicate the nutritionally dense diet our ancestors ate. So the third step is restore your muscles to pain-free movement. And this step involves self-myofascial release with a foam roller, and which basically reduces scar tissue and adhesions and decreases the tension of overly tight muscles just caused by our modern lives. So,
yeah, I love the foam roller. So I think we'll go into more detail about that a little later.
Yeah, it helps you improve your overall mobility and your range of motion. And the result is that you're now ready to move. You've gotten inflammation out of your body by changing your diet. You're supplementing to get your nutrients up. And you have removed restrictions and increased, you know, blood flow, and you're just moving better in general. So the fourth step is to add the movement into your program. And this is build muscle with primal movement. So functional strength training is an approach to fitness that emphasizes full body movements where you're standing on your feet, you know, like the movements of early humans, like we were speaking about. And basically, it prepares you for the activities of your daily life. So, for example, you would step up on a bench with dumbbells in hands and then press the dumbbells overhead. And that particular activity would prepare you to step up on a chair, to put a box on a shelf. The idea with functional training is to work against the resistance in a way that the strength that you gained from the exercise transfers to a specific movement in your life. So that's really the essence of functional training. So as we mentioned, this approach emphasizes the seven primal movements. And so after that, once you've learned to move well, the fifth step is kick up your metabolism. So the movement patterns of early humans were predominantly high intensity, involving bursts of explosive movements, rather than movement over long distances. So these patterns evolved, you know, over eons of time and really took advantage of specific muscle fibers and metabolic pathways that were most efficient for providing energy for survival. So high-intensity interval training can be done in a variety of different ways. The more traditional way is to use intervals solely for sprinting, you know, whether you're on a track or on a bicycle or in a pool. And then another approach is to perform resistance training exercises in an interval fashion using time sets, which is a lot of what I do in my studio.
So let's kind of go through that. So that seems to be, you know, really where I think the exercise movement is going, is into this high intensity exercise burst training. And, you know, it really saves you time rather than going out and, you know, running or walking for an hour, you know, maybe even doing just 20 minutes, but these intervals. So can you explain both? I think you talked about either just the high intensity or the high intensity or maybe lower intensity, but the repetitions. Can you kind of go through both of those?
Sure. Well, the first type that I'm talking about, the high-intensity interval training, so one of the benefits to that, or one of the biggest benefits to that over doing, say, running, is that if you were to compare the two of them, the metabolic resistance training or the high-intensity interval training using resistance weights has a lot less wear and tear on your joints when you compare it to, like, traditional aerobic exercise. So typically, like if you run a mile, the average person has about 1,500 foot strikes with, you know, forces as high as like 3 to 5 times your body weight through your hip, knee, and ankle. So that's, you know, repeatedly a lot of trauma to your body. So if you compare that to metabolic resistance circuits that you're where you're performing like a series of sets for the same amount of time using a variety of upper body and lower body exercises, you would still be burning a lot of calories either way, but there would be a lot less stress to your joints using the metabolic resistance circuits.
So again, a lot of people may not know what that is. So what does that mean, a metabolic resistance circuit?
Okay. So let me give you an example. So I might string together, let's say, 4 exercises. So one could be a bodyweight exercise like push-ups. And then another exercise could be a kettlebell swing. A third exercise could be a bodyweight squat or a kettlebell squat. And a fourth exercise could be a row, some type of row. So what I would do is I would put on an app on my Droid or just use a little timer, and the group or the person that I was training would be working for 60 seconds. So maybe they're doing push-ups for 60 seconds and then they're resting for 30 seconds. And then they'll go into the next exercise, the, you know, two-arm swing, and they're going to do that for 60 seconds and then rest for 30 seconds. So it's an interval style resistance training. So they might go through that circuit 3 times, and then I would have them rest for a longer period of time, maybe 2 minutes. And then I would create another circuit of the same type of timing, but with different exercises.
So does your book have, you know, exercises that people can be doing at home that don't require equipment or going to a gym, things like that? And if so, yeah, can you kind of walk us through some of those, that maybe your top exercises or drills that you have people do that they can do at home?
Actually, I did, yeah. And I set it up so that it's really designed for people at all different levels. So whether you're already pretty fit and you're just looking for, you know, some guidance on your exercise program, that there's a whole variety of exercises in there, and I show you how to set up the program. And I, you know, I've done it for the more advanced and the more beginner trainee. And so, yeah, that's totally in there, all that stuff that we're talking about.
And can you kind of tell us maybe 3 of your favorite ones that somebody can do at home?
I think the kettlebell swing is amazing. I think the squat, whether you're doing it with a kettlebell. So the beauty of kettlebells is you can buy one kettlebell and you have a little gym in your home, but you just need to how to use them correctly. And so, you know, squats, I love, you know, snatching, which is a more advanced exercise, but for everybody, I'd say a 2-arm swing, you know, a body weight squat, a push-up, all of that can be done at home.
Cool. So let's talk about the foam roller. I said I love the foam roller. I actually despise the foam roller because I'm usually in pain when I'm doing the foam roller. But I love the foam roller when I'm done with the foam roller. So tell us about, you know, the myofascial release that's happening and foam rollers.
Sure. Self-myofascial release reduces scar tissue and adhesions. It decreases your, you know, the tone of your tight muscles. It improves your mobility and overall range of motion. And so myo refers to muscle, and fascia is refers to the connective tissue that surrounds the muscle fibers. So the foam roller, as you discovered, is amazingly effective, and it really doesn't take a long time to get release out of your muscles and to be able to move forward with your training. So the way it works is that when you press or you put pressure on a tight, tender area of the muscle by rolling on it, tiny sensing mechanisms located at the muscle tendon junction are activated. So these sensors, called, you know, Golgi tendon organs, stimulate muscle spindles to relax the muscle that you're working on. So it helps to release the adhesions, the blood flow gets increased to the area, and the overall quality of the tissue improves. But it's not just foam rolling. The foam roller and static stretching go hand in hand. So the roller helps you to remove restrictions And then static stretching afterward helps you to restore your muscle to its proper length. So because the restrictions have been removed, the muscle is ready to be stretched and, as a result of the foam rolling. So the analogy I use is, imagine a rubber band that has a knot tied in it. If you tried to stretch a rubber band with the knot, the band would break at the point where the knot is. So once you remove the knot, you can stretch the band without causing a break. And so muscles are just like rubber bands. Knots in them, will tear and stop lengthening until you remove them with foam rolling, and then you can elongate the muscles with stretching.
Awesome. And so do you recommend that people do this every day or a few times a week? Or
It's really very individual, like everything else. Most people need a fair share of it when they first start using the foam roller. Some people don't carry a lot of tension in their bodies, but they're, less common. Most people have a lot of tension in their bodies. So when you're first doing it, your body has to get used to it. You might do it one day and then let your body rest for a couple of days and then go back in and do it. But once you get used to it, you can do it every day. And it's an exploratory process, so that when you first do it, you're looking around, you're sort of getting familiar with it. But after a while, you learn where your hot spots are, and you can just go to them. You become very intuitive about it.
Yeah, I know. When I started, I would almost be not bruised, but just so sore the next day that I really couldn't do it every day. It was causing more trauma and pain and inflammation. I mean, those are exaggerated words for sure, but I really felt like I could only do it like every 3 days and then every other day. And now I try to do it every day, but sometimes I just don't.
Yeah. That most people go through that process.
Yeah, but it definitely has been helpful. Is there a particular roller that you prefer over another?
I like the Grid. It's a shorter version, and it's hollowed out, and it fits perfectly in your carry-on. So you can throw your socks and your t-shirts in there, and if you travel a lot, you can take it with you. You can put it away in the closet. It's not out. It's not this big, long, 3 foot, roller, and it's equally as effective, if not more, and it doesn't break down like the other rollers do.
Awesome. I think I have, what do I have? No, that's not what I have. I have Trigger Point Performance. It's actually an Austin-based company, but it sounds very similar to what you have. It has,
yes.
It's hollowed out, and then it's, even has like some little, what I imagine yours does with the grid. It kind of has a grid on it. So if anybody's interested in that, it's just Trigger tptherapy.com is what mine is, and it's a local Austin company, so I like to support those. But good to know about yours. And then there's also just the standard, those long foam rollers that that are available on Amazon or something like that as well. So you have one of the things that I read about is that for some people aerobic training can cause them to gain weight. Can you explain what that how that happens?
Well, too much aerobic exercise can decrease human growth hormone, and which tells your body to burn fat and build muscle. You want as much of that around as you possibly can have. And also, high volume aerobic training downgrades your fast twitch muscle fibers into slow twitch fibers over time. So, and you really want to try to keep the as much fast twitch muscle fiber as you can. It's the one that we kind of lose as we get older. And also aerobic training decreases your total muscle mass, so which is going to slow down your metabolic rate. So you're ending up expending less energy. So if you expend less energy, you would have less calories burned, which would probably explain why weight gain for some clients, happens after they've been doing aerobics for a while. But, to put it in context, it takes a while for this to happen. So with aerobic training, if you, if you've been sedentary for, 20 years and you start doing aerobic training, you're going to burn fat just because it's so new to your body. But really, if fat loss is your goal, a fitness program that emphasizes aerobic exercise is not the best approach. A program that emphasizes interval training and resistance training, so you're putting on muscle, is much more effective. And really that's the backbone of my my program.
And so I think most of what you're referring to with the aerobic training is really the chronic, I mean, the marathon runners, the Ironman people, I mean, the average person going out for a couple mile run. I don't think it's their growth hormone is getting suppressed. It's more long distance.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, not about it. Running 3 miles isn't going to cause you to have any really big problems. It's one way to be fit. It's just the extreme type of, or the chronic cardio that we're talking about.
Right, right. Okay, cool. So what do you recommend for somebody in terms of intervals? I know that there's the 4 minute work week, there's the 4 minute workout. And then there was something floating around on the internet that was about 8 minutes or something like that of, I think you do jumping jacks for 30 seconds and then rest for 10 seconds and, step up on a chair for 30 seconds and then down and maybe do a push up. What's the ideal, if there is one, amount of time for somebody?
Well, I think, obviously the Tabata protocol was one of the most effective approaches and really put interval training on the map, and that's a 4 minute workout. But those, the athletes that performed that workout were in incredible condition, and most people that are starting an exercise program aren't ready to work out at that intensity. But really, overall, you want to be, if the best way you can think about your fitness is it's about density. So the more work you can do in a shorter amount of time and the more different types of movement patterns that you do, the fitter you're going to be. So there are a variety of different ways to structure that. But generally, what I find that the minute on, 30 seconds rest, and building people's strength and performance in movement patterns, just changes their bodies like crazy. And pretty much, straight across the board.
So you prefer a minute on with 30-second rest versus, some people do 2 minutes, some do 1 minute, one people do 30 seconds. Is there an optimal sort of interval segment?
That's the one that works best for me. But, that said, I change it up. There are, numerous... you can do so many different approaches to this. You just have to change the types of exercises that you're doing for different types of intervals. Your body, you're always trying to challenge your body in new and different ways to kind of, get it off balance so it responds and gives you and performs a little better as a result of it. So incorporating a program that has a variety of different types of intervals would be great.
And I love, I don't remember if it was your book or another one that I was reading just sort of on paleo movement or primal movement about... I can't remember the example they used, but it made me clue into, I have a puppy, and she will do exactly that. She'll run and chase something, and then she'll stop and rest. Then she'll run and chase something again and stop and rest. And so it's really, as I started tuning into her, it's exactly in what children do as well, right? I mean, they're playing chase, and they'll just chase one another or whatever, and then they'll stop and rest. And it's kind of, that's what we're intuitively designed to do. But because of our modern world with, cars and elevators and things, we don't need to chase after anything anymore. Maybe our dogs and our children.
Yep, absolutely. I think that's totally right. There's a sort of an uneven rhythm about how we have moved for millions of years, and the closer we get to that, even though we're kind of using this studio fitness environment to recreate that, and it's probably not perfect, it's pretty close.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, where can people pick up a copy of your book and find out about you?
Well, my book is available on Amazon and in many, many local bookstores across the country, and it's on Amazon internationally. And my website is fitnesstransform.com, all one word, Fitness Transform. My Facebook page is Your Primal Body. My Twitter feed is at Mickey Riley, MikkiRei. LLY. And I own a fitness studio in Santa Barbara, California called Fitness Transform, and people can find me there as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for all the really helpful information. Hopefully people out there will pick up a copy of your book and start putting some of this into play, with no pun intended. I've personally found that it's been really helpful for me, and certainly cuts down on the amount of time that you have to work out. And most of us are busy people, so that's always helpful. And then, of course, if you can see some results, that's even better.
Thank you so much for having me. Really a pleasure talking to you.
Awesome. Take care.
You too. All right. Bye-bye.
To stay in touch with Dr. Myers, you can sign up for her newsletter on her website at dramyers.com or connect with her on Facebook or Twitter at Amy Myers, MD.